I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that aloud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast. I cannot hide my anger to spare you guilt, nor hurt feelings, nor answering anger, for to do so insults and trivializes all our efforts. Guilt is not a response to anger. It is a response to one's own actions or lack of action. If it leads to change, then it can be useful, since it is then no longer guilt, but the beginning of knowledge. Yet all too often, guilt is just another name for impotence, for defensiveness, destructive of communication. It becomes a device to protect ignorance and the continuation of things the way they are, the ultimate protection for changelessness. That's a quote from Audre Lorde's The Uses of Anger, Women Responding to Racism. And one of the social justice axioms that we all reflexively accept at this point is that privilege guilt is not wanted or needed.
True. Yes.
Yes, that we don't want white guilt or men's guilt, that settler guilt is useless. There's also a saying that guilt is a wasted emotion. But in our episode on shame, when we delineated the difference between guilt and shame, we talked about the common definition that shame is the feeling that there is something wrong with you, fundamentally. And guilt is the feeling that we get that tells us when we've done something wrong. And if that's the case, then guilt seems like a healthy and necessary emotion, something that allows us to take responsibility for our actions and make a conscious choice to do better. There's research that claims that guilt is actually a pro-social emotion. But then many of us, especially women and those who are raised as women, as well as people belonging to various ethnic, cultural, and religious groups, I feel like there is a lot of groups that feel that we have like the ultimate monopoly on guilt. We become plagued by a kind of chronic guilt. Something that follows us around and can't be eased by taking responsibility for something or making a different choice. So today I wanted to wade into these contradictions surrounding guilt. I want to talk about our personal experiences of guilt, get into the differences between what we might consider a healthy or an unhealthy guilt, the role of guilt in liberation movements, and guilt as a disguise that's worn by other emotions.
I'm so excited. I know we talked about this before. I'm like, maybe saying that I'm in like anticipating enjoying this conversation on guilt is like not the right word, but I'm actually really like, I think talking about guilt is so necessary. I mean, like you said, those of us who are of marginalized genders and marginalized, you know, just all of us at our intersections who are often wading through guilt and also wading through shame as well, embodying feeling the sense that we are wrong and that we are doing things wrong, both of those things. So anyways, I'm grateful that you have carved up this space for us to talk about guilt because I think I'm ready. It feels like an accessible thing for me to think about. So thank you.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear a bit about your relationship with guilt, because I know you've talked about the ways that Christianity has instilled a deep sense of shame in you. But I imagine guilt is also interwoven in that.
Yes. Well, you know, so yes, short answer, yes. Like if we're thinking about Shame being that thing that something is wrong with you, and guilt being the thing that you have done something wrong. Both of those things really were lessons that I learned through being indoctrinated in Christianity. But I know that guilt has been more of a sidekick for me when it comes to sort of like my family dynamic and like my relationship with my, not my siblings per se, but my parents, feeling like I need to be doing certain things in a type of way, especially when I was in my like late teens, early 20s, feeling like I needed to do a ton of shit to support my mom, to help my mom out, and feeling guilty and almost, you know, resentful, especially when you're like trying to be independent and have your own life and all these things, really resenting the guilt tripping that, you know, I feel like I can say that out loud and tell my mom that and be like, you guilt trip me. And she did that with all of us. Like, and I'm sure she was in desperate need for us to like support the family. But yeah, guilt was my best friend for a very long time. And now, not so much. Not so much at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I'm curious about now, like, are there specific sort of themes or things that you find yourself most often feeling guilty about?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, sort of like not doing enough, right? Like not, the expectations that I think that I have of myself, of my, the work that I'm doing, the impact of that work, like that kind of guilt exists. But I think that I've learned about myself more and about how I can use that sort of nudging or that guilt that I end up feeling and transform it into doing something. Whereas, and the doing something for me seems to now come from a place of abundance and can, as opposed to feeling like if I don't do this thing, like begrudgingly doing something, if that makes sense. Like there's a different feeling that I have now when I do things after I felt guilty, if that makes sense, especially because my doing and the guilt that I end up feeling now is usually tied to, you know, activism, or usually tied to, like, I don't really find in my relationships a strong theme of guilt. I think there have definitely been times where I feel like I should be showing up for my friends in a particular way, and I feel like I'm letting them down, like y'all down. And I don't do that. But yeah, I feel lucky because oftentimes that just makes me go, okay, like, what do I do? Let me just do something then, you know?
So would you say that you kind of have a momentary feeling of guilt, but then you're just able to ease it by doing something about it? Or is it a different thing altogether than guilt?
Maybe it is what you just said, but I think it's also, I think I've replaced, because my life has changed and because my mom doesn't need me in the same way, my family dynamics are different now. I think I've replaced sort of guilt and that feeling of not doing actions with responsibility and feeling like I can do shit. Like I can change, I can do, I have the capacity. And sometimes I don't. Like sometimes it's not like I'm like, I can do it all. Like not by any stretch, but I think I just maybe see it differently or have a different orientation to it now because I'm like, I don't feel obligated to any one person. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's my responsibility though to be doing certain things and to be living a type of way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And that's something, I'm glad you brought that up, that it's responsibility, because I think that'll be a theme that keeps coming back, because I think guilt and responsibility are like very interrelated, or at least guilt often shows up where responsibility is needed.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. How about you, though? Like, was guilt your best friend? When was guilt, like, the thing that you were experiencing looking back?
Yeah, I think it's hard to differentiate always between guilt and shame. I think they so often do go hand in hand. But growing up, I definitely felt a lot of it. So as I've said many times, I grew up living with my mom and my grandparents. And it was sort of this kind of a weird gray area because I think my grandparents felt like they very much didn't want to be our parents. Like they didn't want to either sort of step on my mom's toes in terms of like, you know, doing her job or telling her how to do her job. And maybe they also just didn't want that, you know, to be like disciplinarians of their grandchildren. They already did that with four children. But my mom worked. And so often it was my grandparents who were home and caring for us. And so there was sort of this, you know, these are the rules and this is how you're supposed to behave. But if I didn't, my grandparents wouldn't force me to. And, you know, if you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, right? Like, that's not necessary. I mean, maybe there are some kids who would just do everything they're supposed to be doing. But I definitely pushed those boundaries.
Oh, so you were like, your grandparents would be like, no, you know how you're supposed to act and you just not do shit. And you're saying that you didn't feel guilty at that time, or you felt like even or
no,
you
feel I did opposite? Feel guilty.
Like, I need to do this shit.
I would feel guilty, but it would basically be like, here's a rule that's being set that you don't like. Now, if you do that anyway, no one's going to stop you.
Oh, so like the no consequence kid with grandparents.
Yeah, except gotcha. Yeah. Then eventually, you know, my mom is going to guilt me about it. Or okay. Even my grandma might like guilt me about it, but she's not going to actually stop me.
Right.
And I think that's very confusing for a child, right? Like, again, yeah. I mean, there's some, like my oldest sister, she, I'm sure, would have just done it. My oldest, right. Like we definitely followed the sort of stereotypical roles for the birth order. Like the oldest, she's like the overachiever, like always did exactly what she was supposed to do. The middle sister was the rebel. And then I was like they call it the lost child in family systems, where I was just sort of like trying to blend into the background. So my oldest sister would have just followed all the rules just because she was told to, but I often would push it. I'd often be like, okay, I'm going to try to do this thing and see if you're going to stop me. And, you know, then I wouldn't be stopped. But then there would be a lot of like guilt and shame. So I think I internalized a lot of like, I'm the worst. I'm like a bad kid. But I think the temptation of, but I want to watch this TV show, but okay, I want to go to my friend's house, but right. I want to, you know, not do my homework or not practice the piano or, you know, whatever else.
Right.
You know, I didn't have that like internal self-control at, you know, between the ages of, I guess I would have been like 6 to 15 when I was living in that house. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. I didn't know you were that kind of kid. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of guilt from that time. And then I think it just became very chronic, just kind of the internal sense of like, I'm always doing something wrong. And I think that was another thing too, was there was so much, I think, guilt and shame for various reasons. Like we weren't, I think we've talked about this before, like we weren't Christians. My grandparents were atheists, but I think a lot of the guilt and shame from Christian culture was still there. It just wasn't being tied to like scripture or something.
That's so interesting. I wonder, I don't know sort of like what your grandparents' sort of ancestry is, but I wonder if that's reminiscent of like kind of colonial ways of being, in the sense that like Nolan and I talked about this, where if you're in an environment where it's like, you know, children are to be seen and not heard, you know what I mean? Like, was that sort of their orientation to raising children at all?
No, not that. Well, okay, definitely not that, although I think there was definitely kind of an authoritarian bend. Like that's how my grandma raised her children. My mom was a lesser kind of version of the, you know, because I said so model of parenting. But it was more, and I think this is a colonial way of being. And I think it's also a Christian and like the intersection of those two things. But the sort of idea that there is a correct way to behave.
Okay, right.
Like, there is a correct way to live your life.
Right. What is appropriate? Things are appropriate. Right.
Oh, yeah. Appropriate was like, that was a big construct in my upbringing for sure. That took me a long time to.
You're not the first person who's told me that, like, that appropriateness and having to kind of like deprogram your mind around like, is this appropriate or not? Being like, fuck the appropriate shit. Like, this is what is needed or necessary. And like, yeah, that's fascinating.
Did you not grow up with appropriate as a big construct?
It wasn't framed that way at all. Mm. It was more just like, maybe it's because I didn't have like options accessible to me, but I felt more like, maybe it was appropriate. I just never had that language, that vernacular. It was more just like, this is what it is. You know, it wasn't like, this is, there's this way and there's this way, and I'm asking you to do it that way. It's like, this is the way that you will do it.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say? So, and I guess that is part of what you just said, the intersection of sort of like Christian, colonial, sort of whatever together. My parents were not like the children should be seen and not heard kind of parents. They were very like hands-on and wanted us to have opinions about things to an extent. Like, there was obviously still that sort of like line in the sand of like, when you are not to talk anymore, when you are not to, you know, talking back, or, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah. We were a no talking back household. And I think, we were encouraged to have opinions about things. Like, we were encouraged to have opinions about politics or things like that. Literature, probably. I don't know. We didn't really talk about literature at the dinner table, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, ideas. But we were, I don't think our opinions on rules were solicited or welcome.
No. Yeah, no, I totally agree. It was the same for us. It was like, yeah, talk about the world, talk about that stuff. Yeah. But like, what you're not going to do is question me when I tell you what you're going to do.
100%.
I'm putting on my mom's voice. I'm putting on my mom's energy right now. Yeah.
But then, you know, now I really relate. So I, you know, had my notes of what I was going to go over, and I literally had not doing enough in quotation marks as like the main construct around which my guilt is now built.
Right.
So it's like, it can be like a community request coming in for free counseling, for example, especially when that's coming from Black and Indigenous communities. That has been something that like provoked like a bit of a guilt crisis for me, because there's times where, I mean, I have a sliding scale. I've done pro bono at times, and I certainly would, but having a chronic illness, I'm often like, if not past my capacity, certainly at it. It's usually like, I hope I can get through what I have to get through.
Yeah.
But then a request like that is coming in, and, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad for not being able to do this, and I'm not doing enough, and, you know, all of that. And then in my personal life as well, like not helping my sisters enough, or not having the relationships with my parents that they might prefer for us to have. Those are definitely like the biggest flashpoints of my guilt.
Yeah. As you were talking about your feelings on seeing the requests coming in, saying, I wish that I was able to do that, I feel like ability is such an important part of the conversation when we're talking about like the actions we can take after guilt. Like, if guilt is like a catalyst for doing something, let's just say, I feel like capacity and ability are an important thing that we need to be holding on to, because bless you, Lala, for feeling that guilt, right? Like, but also you don't have the capacity to act on the guilt that you're feeling. And maybe we'll get into this in terms of how can we transform like the individualizing of guilt into like collective, like other, like sharing that, you know what I mean? Like spreading that responsibility around to people who actually have the capacity, because I find it, it's upsetting to me and my homegirls that you would feel guilty for not being able to do enough, quote unquote, when you do so much, you know what I'm trying to say? So yeah, I just wanted to offer that, like, if guilt is something that's supposed to catalyze action, then it has to be about collective action. It also needs to be about individual shit too, like, obviously, right? But also it can't just be like, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. It's like, no, but like somebody else could do it. Like somebody else is definitely rolling in the dough, not coping with a chronic illness and has the capacity and the ability to do that, you know?
Yeah, totally. Thank you for saying that. And that is like the last time this happened. I ended up on a call with Yaz, who's my co-founder of Healing in Color. And she was like, you know, she's like, I feel the same way, but I just have to remind myself, like, I can't jump every time. Like, someone's always in crisis. And like, I personally cannot respond to every crisis that's out there. And it so often is those of us who are giving so much are the ones who feel the most guilt and like the most, you know, desire to show up. So, you know, at the end of the day, like we kind of just have to understand that we don't have the capacity. But let's jump into this more, because I think in terms of our liberation movements, it is so important to feel when we're doing something wrong. And when we're contributing to something that's wrong. And I wanted to check with you because I feel like maybe when people say, like, we don't want your guilt, like if we say to white people, like, we don't have any usefulness for white guilt, what exactly do we mean? Because I think it is important for white people to feel when they're a part of something and when they're individually as well, doing something wrong. But at the same time, like, I don't know, for me, one of the big things is like, I don't really want them to express it to me because I don't really, you know, I'm like, okay, what do I do with that? You've told me you feel guilty. Great. So I don't necessarily want to hear the expression of it, but I don't think I can say I don't want them to feel it.
Thank you for asking that question. I think you've hit the nail on the head, at least in my eyes, that when we say things like, you know, I don't want your white guilt, as a person of color, as a Black woman myself, I'm like, I don't want you to express that around me and expect me to hold that space for you to wade through your guilty, shitty thing, right? Like, if you have that feeling, that's an important feeling. Like you just said, like, it's an important thing for white folks to feel their white guilt about being settlers and contributing to and participating in white supremacy and benefiting from it, right? Like, they need to feel those things, but not around me and not on my time, not at the expense of my ability to just exist, you know? Like, so often our peace is disturbed because of white urgency, white guilt, all these things, and as people of color, right? And yeah, I mean, I want folks with privilege, and I, as a person of privilege who's not white but still has privilege in other ways, I do need to feel guilty. But what I don't need to do is take that guilt and lay it on the feet of the people who are being marginalized. That's not appropriate. That seems like a really displacement of like your emotions. I think of what Julie Black said to, don't know, like middle-aged white lady, but she said, like, take your feelings and leave it at your altar. Like, that's your work to do. That's not the work of a person of color. You know, when we're talking about, you know, racism, it's not the job of a person of color to like help a white person, like, quote unquote, see the light and work through their things. And I think so often that's what happens. It's like, I think people who say, I feel guilty, almost say it in a way that's like, give me permission. Like, will you let me in? I feel guilty. Like, I see you. It's like kind of like a acknowledgement of the harm that is existing, talking about the guilt that you feel because somebody else is put out by something that you do or benefit from or whatever. And it's like, but that's not going to save the day, right? Like, your guilt isn't going to do anything. And so what I want is for people who are guilty to go chill out with other guilty people.
Yeah, what's coming up for me as you're talking is responsibility again, and how if everything's functioning the way that it should, a feeling of guilt leads us to take responsibility and do something different. And in a lot of these cases, what you're describing, it's the opposite. It's somebody taking guilt and then putting the responsibility on the people that are being hurt, you know, yes. like the people that are on yes. the other side of that, and just dropping that responsibility on them, like as if guilt in itself is somehow anything.
Yeah. And I think also about that quote by, I think it's Miriam Kaba, like, let this moment radicalize you. It's like, that's mm-hmm. part of it, right? Like, it, like the radicalization that a lot of us have experienced in the past year, 2 years, whatever, like wherever people are at, a lot of it is because we've realized, like, holy shit, either, like, I am benefiting from these, like, horrific systems. Maybe not 100%, but there's a percentage of my, you know, identity that is able to walk through this world unscathed. And we're being radicalized by that, right? Like, it's like an active, I think mm-hmm. of like a chemical agent. It's like not just something that's just like sitting there. It's like you've added the solution to it. Now it's bubbling over. Now you got to do some shit with it. Like, it's a cleaning agent, bitch. Like, you mm-hmm. can't just like let it sit there. But I think that guilt so often is so demobilizing. And so, like, it allows people to feel like you were saying, that experiencing it in and of itself is enough. And it's not. It's like, then you end up being sort of like in the self-flagellation, sort of like, I feel bad, I'm horrible. And as a child, that's really hard to navigate. But as an adult, I want to say that a lot of us have more resources at our disposal internally to like navigate out of letting guilt completely demobilize us and you know what I mean? And disconnect us fully from what we're able to do. I want to like challenge us to be thinking, you know what I mean? Like, as we know, we're not dependent on strictly the love of our parents for their protection and their safety and their guidance. It's like, well, no, I'm like, I have some ability to take care of myself. How am I going to self-soothe myself out of this guilt tornado that I'm in to do something, even a little something that's going to make this guilt worth it? Because it's like, you could, you know, sometimes the guilt is way bigger than the thing that you feel guilty about. You know what I mean?
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.
So let's get into this, because I think guilt in its healthy form is, again, I've done something, or I, you know, as part of a group have done something, or I'm doing something that is wrong. And I need to take responsibility for that. And I need to make a different choice. And so when it becomes unhealthy, I think, is when it gets stuck. And so it can get stuck for a few different reasons. And one is, yeah, if you just think, you get stuck there, you just stop. You're just like, oh, well, I feel bad, and just wallow.
Yes, that exactly. Wallowing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, that is not a healthy expression of guilt. I think also, kind of going back to like my thing about feeling guilty about, you know, not being able to respond to every request, it can get stuck when we're taking on more than is ours. So either if it's beyond our capacity, like I actually cannot do something different, and maybe, you know, somebody else feels hurt by it, or maybe there's a need that somebody else has that isn't being fulfilled, but I can't do anything about that. And I think like something is taking the form of guilt. That's what we're feeling. But if we actually just accept the truth that we don't have capacity, there's something else there. Like maybe there's grief and how there are people hurting and we can't do anything about it. You know, maybe we feel out of control. Like there's something else there if we're feeling guilty and it's like not actually something that we're doing wrong.
Yeah. I think of like what could be under the guilt for myself. So often it's been embarrassment. Mm-hmm. It's been like, yeah, it's, and that's off of like the side of shame probably, mm-hmm. where it's like, what's wrong with me that I can't do this thing? Like, the truth is that I actually can't do this thing. But, like, why can't I do this thing? Like, am I sure that I can't do this thing? Like, I'm beating myself up about not being able to do this thing. And that doesn't make me fucking do it. And that makes me feel worse about making the decision to have boundaries or, you know, or to recognize my own capacity. Even as I was thinking about this conversation between the two of us, about times in my life where I actually haven't had the capacity and I've had to back away from something and I know that I've let somebody down in that process, but I literally was like, I was not ready to be what that person needed. I wish that I communicated that to them. You know, I wish that I had handled that in a different way as opposed to just saying like, hey, I can't do this without, you know, more perhaps communication or whatever. But the fact of the matter was that I still didn't have the capacity, and there's nothing wrong with having limited capacity. Like you're saying.
Yeah, there's like an internalized ableism there in a lot of cases. And I think not even just if you're disabled or suffering from chronic illness, I think even the ableism of I should have, you know, unlimited emotional capacity. It's like, no, like we are finite, small humans. Like we are made of matter, and like we don't have infinite resources or supplies of anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. I never connected the dots between ableism and that piece about like feeling embarrassed that you can't do enough, but fuck, that's exactly what it has been. Because I think for so long, I've also identified as like an overachiever and identified as a person who wanted to be like, I don't know, the jack of all trades, can be good at anything. Like a part of my identity was hinged on that. And so it would like hurt my ego really when I wasn't able to do all the things. But in actuality, it's like we're human beings and we're physically unable to. Like we literally cannot do all the things. Mm-hmm. And I would also argue, and maybe this isn't about guilt necessarily, but like in our wanting to do all the things, like what opportunities are we not letting other people step into? Like when we're trying to do it all as well, but maybe that's another tale for another time. I just wanted to offer that in the context of like, if you're also kind of navigating the guilt from not doing things and feeling embarrassed and thinking about it in the context of ableism, it's like, it's also about like hoarding. It's also about like needing to be at all the places all the time. And it's also about ego sometimes that we feel guilty about not being able to do things, at least for me.
Totally. It reminds me of a saying my therapist actually taught me that her mentor had said to her, which is, we don't kill people and we don't save people. And that was specifically about, you know, being a therapist. But I think you can kind of apply that to broader situations, that the world does not begin and end with us. You know, and so like thinking that we're the only ones that can meet somebody's need, or we're the only ones who can respond to this request, or we're the only ones who can do this work. It's like we might take it on in like a negative way. Like I feel guilty because I feel like I'm letting this person down, but it's really the flip side of, you know, we talked about ego as being like positive or negative, right? The flip side of that is like, because I'm better than everyone, right?
Yes,
like superiority. Either way,
yeah,
you're seeing yourself as like this tragically unique character, right?
And trust me, you're not.
Yeah.
Trust me, we're not. Like, we are all special in our own ways, but like not to the point of superiority over other people.
Or inferiority under them.
Or inferiority, yes, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah. And then I think the other way that we take on more than is ours, and it's very much related, but it's sort of taking on all of the woes of society. Like, I am a settler, and therefore the entire settler colonial project is like mine to bear the weight of, which like, you know, again, it's like we need to be taking personal responsibility, and we need to be looking at what are the ways that I can show up, what are the things I have that I can give, all of those kinds of things. But if we start to feel like, okay, now I alone must figure out how to end
fucking funny though when you say
white supremacy and settler colonialism, it's like, okay, well, that is absolutely going to be immobilizing and pointless, because no, you as an individual cannot. And actually, really, if we think about it, it's actually settler colonialism and white supremacy that has led to the kind of individualism that might make us
ding, motherfucker. Yes, yeah. Exactly. No, thank you for that. I mean, it's I wouldn't say tough, but I was gonna it just feels there's a fine balance, right? It's like the guilt and the responsibility, rather, should move us to doing. The humility should keep us knowing that we are just a person, mm-hmm. that we are just one individual person. And that's where I think, and I think it's what you're getting at as well, is like, there's a collective responsibility then, right? Like, if we're saying it's not just about kind of individualizing, let's say, like, settler colonialism is like, it's fucking horrible and like taking in all the, that really resonated with me. I was sitting back just being like, Lord, why are you reading me like this? And that's fucked up too, because a lot of us are surviving those systems, right? Like, There's so many fine lines that we're trying to be like balancing on, where we're like, we know our privileges, but we understand that we're also wading through it as people who are being hurt under these systems. We know that we are individuals and we might have something to offer, but we're not, you know, don't get too fucking hot about it, because there is a collective responsibility as well. Mm-hmm. And us imagining or thinking that in and of ourselves we can be the ones is dangerous. Yeah, I just wanted to speak to that. Like, it's just so messy. There's really no clarity, right? Around, or maybe you can offer it, but I just don't feel like there's like a clear cut, like, you know, in the context of guilt moving us to do better. It's like that infinity sign. Shit keeps on feeding itself back up, and then, you know, you can repurpose it and reshape it and transform it into doing.
Yeah, and I think that this is just why, absolutely, and I think this is just why we need to build ongoing conscious relationships with ourselves and our trusted people around us. But we need to build that trust with ourselves, because I think it's not obvious. It's never going to be obvious where the line is and like where, how much can I really do it? I mean, sometimes, you know, in a specific situation, it's clear I know I can't do that for sure. But often it's very difficult. So I think that's why we need to just kind of on an ongoing basis be like checking in with ourselves, like, okay, did I just push myself past capacity? Or actually, maybe I could have said yes to that and I feel bad that I didn't. So next time I'm going to, or tomorrow I'm going to call that person back, or, you know. I think it's just ongoing recalibration.
Yeah. And grace is really important for ourselves. And I'm speaking generously, because people might be listening and they're not doing anything wherever they're at. And so this grace might not be for you. But I think for a lot of us, extending ourselves that grace of like, and that ongoing, like you're saying, like the ongoing checking in, I don't know. I think that's so important, because otherwise we're going to be pushing ourselves beyond like what is beyond maybe even our skill set, beyond. And that's okay sometimes. Like, I think that, you know, the growth edges are awesome when we're able to like do something that we didn't think that we could do, or maybe we're not the most equipped, but we still find a way. Like, humans are so tenacious, and we're able to do under even really horrendous circumstances. And I want to say that, but also sometimes I think we're really hard on ourselves in the wrong places. And in those wrong places, it's like when you're actually not the best person to do the job, like freeing yourself. And this is also me saying this to me. So Nick, free yourself from the sort of expectation that you're always going to have all of the time and energy and capacity and brain space and expertise. Like, what do you have to offer? Start there. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. It's so much easier said than done. Sometimes I say shit on this podcast and I'm like, bitch, like, think about it for yourself, right? But you know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. 100%. And it's funny, because I, you know, in preparing this episode, had the same kind of worry that I often have, where it's like, okay, but there are a lot of, like, you know, in particular, wealthy and white people who do really just let themselves off the hook.
100%.
But then I was like, well, I don't know. At the end of the day, like, our intended audience is QG BIPOC.
Like, and yeah, I just know, like,
you know, no, yeah. the people who let themselves off the hook will continue to do that. And the people who are too hard on themselves will continue to do that. So ultimately, I feel like all we can really do is talk about what's true for us. And, you know, it's the responsibility of anyone listening. And it's our responsibility as well to examine ourselves and feel and figure out what's true for us and figure out where we are and where we need to be.
100%. Yes. I mean, yeah. Like people are always going to take, people can take the parts of this podcast and make it into feel good, you know, commentary about how to just be a better human being. But we're talking about collective liberation and dismantling systems of, you know, oppression. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people are always going to take those pieces, but you're right. It's the responsibility piece. And I would argue that if you're letting yourself off the hook, not only are you doing the collective a disservice, you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not connected to like truth.
Totally.
And that's really like, that's spiritually shitty for you. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. There's
that. I don't know how to absolutely. Say that eloquently, but yeah.
No, that works perfectly. Yeah. And then just the one last kind of delineation of different types of guilt that I want to share. And I think that it very much relates to everything we've been talking about. But I came across the idea of unhealthy guilt being what's pushed on you socially or culturally, and healthy guilt being what you feel. And of course, there is an intersection of those two. At least there should be. If there isn't, either you're a sociopath or
spoken or you're from a therapist. So you really are a sociopath. Yeah.
Disclaimer, that is not a professional opinion. Or, you know, you're living in a very, very, very unhealthy social and cultural context, like an extremely, extremely unhealthy one if there's no intersection between those two things. But it really resonated with me because I think so often there's so many ways that people in our lives or systems in our lives will try to force us to feel bad about something. But if we don't have something within ourselves that tells us it's actually wrong, then maybe it's not.
I really like that framing. I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule. We're not speaking to them. But I think as a whole, when I hear that, I hear that you as an individual, like as a person, need to find out what guilt is that comes organically from within you. And I think I am so grateful that I have been able to locate what that is. And I can discern between, and it's not always correct, obviously. It's not perfect. But like now I have a better capacity to discern when I'm feeling this guilty thing or this shitty feeling about who I, like things that I've done or whatever. And if I'm like, is that just because people are telling me or I'm getting these messages or I am have learned these binary ways of being in the world, of doing in the world, and I decide as an Aquarius and also just as myself, regardless of my my sun sign, that that doesn't work for me, that that's not right for me. And I think the sooner or the better we can differentiate between the two sources of guilt, the more we're able to like breeze through the shit that is like social, cultural, external, because that's not even true for us. Like, you know what I mean? Like when, and I think about it in the context of like you learning like what's appropriate, how you're supposed to be in the world as like a young woman. And a lot of it is, most of it is rooted in patriarchy. And it's like, I'm not trying to fuck with patriarchy. So why would I want to participate in patriarchy by holding myself to these like ridiculously odd standards that don't even resonate with me? I'm not doing womanhood wrong because I shaved my head. What feels right for me is shaving my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like the more we're able to sort of like stand in our own truths, I think, and that's for myself, like the more that I've been able to do that, the more I've been able to be like, that other shit is like not for me. It's not for anybody, but like y'all can enjoy, be blessed, not gonna participate, you know? Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I think this is lifelong work. I think, You know, and again, it can you can come at it from both sides. So I think there are people who are not going to feel guilty when there's social and cultural pressure because they don't have enough of an internal compass. I think that the people who pick out this podcast to listen to are probably going to be the ones on the other end of the spectrum where, you know, they are like really thoughtful about these things. And, you know, like you and I have struggled with, like, it's hard to root out all of those like webs of guilt and the ways that they've like, you know, planted themselves in you. That metaphor totally didn't work.
I loved it. Give me more.
It's the end of the day. So, yeah, and I think often for us, when guilt is getting stuck, it's the unhealthy kind, right? And so running down the list of what are the situations in which guilt becomes unhealthy, this is going to be another one of those things to check out. Is this one of these things that I've been told I should feel guilty about, but that actually I don't have the capacity to do this thing, or I don't want to do this thing and I shouldn't have to do this thing.
Yeah.
And like looking at what else is true, you know, maybe I'm expressing it as guilt because I've been taught to like feel bad about like existing, but really what I feel is angry that this is expected of me, or really what I feel is sad that I, you know, can't be who this person wants me to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would just like to end the way we began, which is with an Audre Lorde quote, which I think is the best way to begin and end literally anything in life. And I like to think that what she's saying in this quote, what comes up for me is imagining that move from guilt to responsibility. So she says, "I have no creative use for guilt, yours or my own. Guilt is only another way of avoiding informed action, of buying time out of the pressing need to make clear choices, out of the approaching storm that can feed the earth as well as bend the trees."